How do we find wisdom? And more importantly, how do we know that the wisdom we've found is actually heavenly wisdom rather than worldly wisdom? That concept is what we're going to explore in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks for tuning in. You've come on a good day. We're currently in a series discussing our way through the New Testament book of James. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are bringing it down to earth so that we can understand it easily and simply. I'm going to come back at the end of the program to tell you how to get a free resource that we're offering alongside of this series, so stay tuned for that. As of right now, let's jump right into the discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
I'm so glad you're listening to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean.
Hi, Sean. I'm Bob.
And we're going through the Epistle of James, and we're in chapter 3, in the middle of chapter 3. And one of the things that we've been arguing is that James should be understood as wisdom literature. You should read it alongside a book like Proverbs. We see that from the very first chapter where James mentions wisdom. And now in this section, there's just no question that wisdom is at the very forefront of what James is thinking here. This section we're calling heavenly versus demonic wisdom, because that's what James is talking about.
Chapter 3 is all about the use of the tongue and being slow to speak, because if we rush in speaking, we're likely to curse, we're likely to say things we shouldn't say, so we need to let heaven control our speech rather than demonic forces.
Right. You might not be a pastor or a missionary or deacon or have anything visible, but you have a ministry from God. You are ministering to the people around you. You're called to love your neighbors around you, called to witness Christ to your neighbors. And you have a platform before the world, and what you say reflects upon your walk with God to the world. If you are someone who is always cursing people, if you have colorful language, James says the tongue can be like a fire. If you're the type of person who just starts fires all around you with what you say, you need to realize that God is going to hold you accountable. Christians need to be aware of how we speak, what we say, and who do we say it to. James was saying in just the earlier verses that we can be like two different types of springs.
We can bring forth fresh water or brackish water. And it all depends where the water's coming from. What's the opening the water's coming from? Is our speech coming forth from heaven, or is our speech from the demonic world?
Well, let me read. Let's start at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Oh, so James is concerned with wisdom, right?
Right.
So we've been saying this is wisdom literature. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. So by the way, wisdom is practical.
In Greek, the word for wisdom is chokma, and it basically means skill in living. And that's what James is saying here, that if you are truly wise, it will come forth in your conduct, and it's meekness of conduct. Remember, Jesus said, the meek shall inherit the earth in the Sermon on the Mount, which is also wisdom literature.
Right, people consider that wisdom literature for sure. So who is wise and understanding among you? If you are really wise, then you're going to live wisely, because that's what wisdom is all about.
Right, and this isn't about, as you've mentioned many times, Sean, who's born again and who's not. This is about who's wise and who's not.
Right, this is about Christians who are growing in their walk with Christ. They're not being fools anymore. They're not being carnal anymore. They're being spiritual and they're being wise.
That's 1 Corinthians 2:14 to 3:3. We're called to be spiritual people.
And Jesus called us to be wise.
Right.
Didn't he?
Yep.
What was the phrase exactly? I'm forgetting it right now. Wise as...
Yeah,
serpents?
Wise as serpents.
Wise
yeah.
as serpents, I think.
Yeah.
Verse 14, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Did you know that believers can be bitter and envious and self-seeking?
One of the things I've often joked about is before I got married, I had the Holy Spirit to tell me when I sinned. And when I got married, I had another helper to tell me I've sinned, and that's when my wife starts crying. I know I've done something wrong.
That's right.
And the truth is, marriage brings a lot of instruction. We learn from our spouse things that God wants to teach us. And yes, we can find, whether it's in marriage or whether it's in business, whether it's in driving, whatever it is, church life, that yes, there can be envy, there can be self-seeking, there can be boasting, and even notice lying against the truth. This is presenting truth as though it's a person. It's personifying truth.
Right.
And it's saying, we're offending truth itself.
Right. And guess what? When you're envious and when you have self-seeking in your heart, that can often lead you into these earthly trials. That can create problems for you.
And it also, of course, when you're envious and self-seeking, it results in an improper use of the tongue where you're boasting.
That's right.
You see, boasting is not to be. Proverbs says, let another praise you and not your own lips. But here we've got boasting and using the tongue to lie against the truth. So we're stretching the truth in order to make us look better.
Look what James says in this next verse. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. So the world actually would say it's important to boast.
Right.
You know, you should seek yourself above all. That is the wise thing to do, the world would say.
We're told as we get into James chapter 4 that we are not to presume against the future. Instead, we're to say, if the Lord wills, we'll go here and there and do this or that. But we're not to presume. We're not to boast.
Right.
We're not to brag. And it's gotten to the point where in sports now, it's very common for people to say, we're going to win the Super Bowl. We're going to win the NBA championship. We're going to win the World Series, whatever it is. And yet Christians shouldn't be doing that, even if it motivates the team, even if it's encouraging. Everything we do should be couched within the context of God is ultimately in control, and I don't know how much longer God's going to allow me to be healthy, to be alive. As we'll see when we get to James 4, our lives are very fleeting.
We live in a social media world, and I think one application for younger people is everyone's trying to build their own brand. And so they take these pictures of themselves in the fanciest places with the most bling and the most glam, and they're just trying to boast, like, I live the perfect life, and they're trying to make themselves something they're not in order to get followers, which then attracts maybe advertising revenue or something. But there's this idea in the business world and in politics, too. If you're boasting and bragging and seeking your own good, that is the wise, that's the way to get ahead in the world. That's the way to enjoy it, the comfortable life in the world, to do all those things.
But no, James says that's earthly, sensual, demonic.
So it's earthly. And who's the god of this earth?
That's Satan.
That's Satan. And it's sensual. What does sensual mean? All centered around the body and
fleshly,
the lust, right?
Carnal.
Carnal. And it's outright demonic.
That is, it ultimately is sourced in the evil spirit world.
Yeah. Right. So there is something that parades as wisdom, but you need to be on guard against it. The bookstores are filled with self-help books, which promise you a better life, and they're full of this earthly wisdom. I was just reading an article the other day where a woman was convinced to leave her husband and her children in order to find her happiness, like to do something good for herself by having this adulterous affair with another married man. And she devastates her family in search of her own pleasure or happiness or something, not caring at all about her children or the promises she made in her covenant of marriage. That's earthly wisdom, right?
Which is not really wisdom at all.
No, not at all. Because in the long run, guess who you have to answer to for all of your actions, including everything you say? You have to answer to God.
Right.
All right, verse 16. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there.
And so the person who somehow is led to indulge in what the author of Hebrews calls the passing pleasure of sin, mm-hmm. which is you just described with this woman who was straying,
right.
That person is a fool, and that person is going to reap the consequences. That's an evil thing. It's coming from envy and self-seeking.
And envy is wanting what someone else has. That could be a person, it could be their spouse, it could be a new car or their house or just the material possessions that they have. That's the Ten Commandments, called that coveting, and thou shalt not covet.
Right.
But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Whoa, that is a tall order.
Remember in chapter 2, it was all about not using our faith for partiality toward mm-hmm. the rich and the poor. Here we're back to without partiality again, without hypocrisy, being full of mercy, full of good fruits, willing to yield, peaceable, gentle, pure. This is the wisdom from above. And of course, from above is basically a figure of speech referring to from God.
Right. So are you peaceable, gentle? I mean, the boasting type of wisdom says that, you know, the alpha male, you should be an alpha male and you should be a jerk to get your way and you should stamp on little guy to get up the corporate ladder. You need to do what you need to do and push people out of the way to get the most out of life. But the wisdom from above is, no, be peaceable, be gentle, be willing to yield. Willing to yield to the envious people and self-seeking people who are trying to get ahead. Don't be like them.
That's right. And notice how the very last verse of chapter 3 picks up on this idea of peaceable.
Right. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace.
Remember, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God." We are called to be peacemakers. In Romans chapter 12, we're told, as much as it's possible with you, be at peace with all men. Now, some people we can't be at peace with because they're unwilling to be at peace with us.
Right.
But as much as it's possible on our end, we're to be at peace with other people.
Think of what envy does. Envy says, I want what that guy has. So that automatically creates conflict, not peace. And self-seeking means I want to get ahead of this guy. That also creates conflict with that person that you're trying to get ahead of. As Christians, you should be wise and be the exact opposite of that.
We're finishing up the chapter on the tongue and being slow to speak. And you may think, well, what does this peaceable business and peacemaker have to do with the tongue? Everything. If we use our tongue to curse people, does that result in peace?
Mm.
But if we use the tongue to bless people, well, then that results in peace. If we hold our tongue instead of cursing and yelling and making a fuss, well, then we are peacemakers. And so everything James is talking about here about this wisdom from above is all related to how our tongue influences those around us. As a father, Sean, I know you know this, in the home, the tongue of the parents makes a huge difference on the development of the children.
Oh, yeah.
We can use our tongues to bless those around us, and that's what God has called us to do.
Thanks to Sean and Bob for that great discussion on where good wisdom comes from. As I promised you at the top of the program, we're offering a free ebook that goes along with this series, and I, for one, really want you to have a copy of it. It's called The Epistles of James, a shorter commentary by Zane Hodges. To get it, it's really simple. All you have to do is go to faithalone.org/ebooks. That's faithalone.org/ebooks. You can download it right there, and you can follow along in future episodes of this series in James. In addition to that, while you're on the website, faithalone.org, I would highly encourage you to get your hands on some of the other free resources we have. We've got this great print magazine that you can get a free subscription to. Sign up, it'll show up right in your mailbox. We also have teaching videos, podcasts, which are not only on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn, but also right there on the site, faithalone.org. We've got free ebooks, as I mentioned, blog posts, Bible study materials, all kinds of stuff. I hope you'll take advantage of those resources. If you'd like to become a financial partner with us as we continue this radio ministry, we would love that. You can find out how to do that right on the site, faithalone.org. Maybe you've got questions or comments for Bob and Sean. If that's the case, I'd like to tell you, I know for a fact that they love to hear from listeners. I'll give you our email address so you can contact us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, next time on the broadcast, we're going to continue in our series on James, so tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.